Well, first of all, Shalom Aleichem. Welcome, everybody. You know, the Gemara talks has an expression about what the Gemara calls a bar be'rav d'chad yema, a person that spent one day in the yeshiva. So the Gemara says, what is that? Who's such a person? A person that lived 6 months away from the yeshiva. So he wanted to spend a day in yeshiva, so he traveled for 6 months to the yeshiva, spent one day in the yeshiva, and then went back home. So he spent basically 12 months so he could spend one day in the yeshiva. So, you know, it doesn't take you 6 months to get from St. Louis to Baltimore, but spending a day in the yeshiva, you see that from that Gemara, how important it is. A person could spend a year just to be in the yeshiva for one day. So certainly, you know, that you've come here to the yeshiva, especially in Chodesh Elul, is a very, very important and chashuv thing. So, you know, the parsha that we learned yesterday, parsha Kiseitze, the parsha that has more mitzvahs than any parsha in the Torah, one would assume that the first parsha that the Torah begins with, the parsha V'fas Dayar, really doesn't have any implication for our day and age. The parsha V'fas Dayar is a story of when Klal Yisrael goes to war, and they're fighting a war, and there's a fellow that sees in the war, he sees a Barisa Bashevi Eishas V'fas Dayar. A person sees a good-looking woman. Unfortunately, she's not Jewish. So, she's not Jewish, what's there to talk about? And yet the Torah over here makes an exception and says that if this person says he can't live without her, he's actually allowed to go ahead and to begin a process to marry her, which is mind-boggling. Because if someone comes to you today, comes to a rabbi today and says, listen, you know, there's this woman, I love her, etc., etc., only problem is she's not Jewish. So the rabbi says to the person, you're a shegetz. What are you talking about? You're not Jewish. You're going to intermarry? Are you crazy? And yet over here, the Torah goes ahead and says, yes, under circumstances and through a whole process, that you're allowed to go ahead and to marry this woman. What is this process? The process is he goes ahead, he takes her back home. Gilchas Reisha goes ahead and takes her beautiful blonde hair and shaves her head until her head looks like a bowling ball. And he goes ahead and she lets her become unpleasant, ungood looking. She sits and mourns her parents for a month. And then if he still wants her, then he can be Mengayer her, he can convert her, etc., etc. And the rationale behind this very strange parsha is Dibra Tera Keneged Lashon Hara, Keneged Yetzer Hara. But the Tera sees that this person is infatuated with this woman, that he can't control himself, and therefore the Tera says, okay, we'll give in, he goes ahead through this process. But at the end of the day, it's still mind-boggling. The guy sees a non-Jewish woman, can't control himself. What's even more strange to understand is because in last week's parsha we also learned about the exemptions for going to war. There are several exemptions that are going to war. I don't know if you're not old enough to remember this, but you know, during the Vietnam War, I had an exemption. I was a 4D. I was the divinity student. But everybody, you know, you have to have some kind of exemption unless you were Donald Trump and you had bone spurs. But most people have got drafted, or if they didn't have some kind of exemption. Pardon the editorial comment. Be that as it may, so one of the exemptions is Mihayori Baracha Levov Yelech V'Yashal Abesai. A person who's afraid says, He's exempt from going to war. But Chazal tell us that afraid doesn't necessarily mean he's afraid of war, of fighting, of death, of injury. He's afraid of any averus that he may have in his closet. And therefore, if he says, listen, I've done certain things in my past, I have these averus, that can be an exemption as well. And the Gemara says, to the extent, what kind of aver are we talking about? To the extent that if he talked between the tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel reish, that's an avera that exempts the person from going to war. That's what seems to be a very, very light avera. It is. And yet that's a ptur. Any person that has any such avera, and certainly worse averas like Lashon Hara or other averas, is exempt from war. So then who goes to this fight? Who's fighting in this war? If any person has the slightest aver in his background, he's potter. So then who are the soldiers that go to this war? The likes of Reb Chaim Kandievsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. That's what you have to imagine. The likes of the Chofetz Chaim, they're the ones that go to war. Can you imagine Reb Chaim Kanievsky goes to war and says, I see this shiksa there and I can't control myself and I have to marry her? And the terrorist says, yes, you're allowed to marry her? It's impossible to imagine. Because that's what we're talking about. So what's the pshat in that? The answer is that war is different. And war is such a hostile environment that even the biggest tzaddik has never been exposed to. It's very difficult for even a tzaddik to handle that. It's a hostile environment. It's an environment that you were never used to. It's an environment that is different than any other environment that a person can face. War is different. War is just different. What happens in war and what you see during war and how people act during war. And therefore, even a tzaddik in that environment will have trouble containing his yetzer hara. And there's a take-home lesson here. And that take-home lesson is that we have to be very, very careful about the environments in which we find ourselves. Because even the biggest tzaddik, in a corrosive, hostile environment, he can change. You know, I gave this little talk to my bachrim and my shir, who are now in yeshiva. You know, they've been in the yeshivas most of their lives, between grade school and high school and now Beis Medrash. But one day most of them are going to go out into what's called the real world, which of course is the fake world, but it's called the real world. And then they're going to be in situations and environments that they've never had before. I mean, I have an incredible privilege, and the Ribbono Shel Olam has given me the opportunity to spend my life in yeshiva. I don't know, I've never been in corporate America, I've never been in professional America. I have been, B'li Ayin Hara, Halvai Vayter, Hashem should keep me well, in a yeshiva for my life. But most bachrim that's not going to happen to them. They're going to go into corporate America or the business world or the professional world. And you have to be very, very careful about the type of world that you choose. You know, today, as opposed to 40, 50 years ago, you can have a career in a frum environment, in a religious environment, And you don't have to be exposed to the corporate world in which everything's so different. What they think about, what they talk about, what's important to them is so foreign to what a Jew is supposed to be in. And a person cannot say to himself, well, don't worry, I'll handle it. Listen, I've had a good background. I've been in yeshiva. I've been in kollel even. I can handle it. I can handle it. I can handle any environment. Not necessarily true. When you're subject to that, almost anything can happen. You know, there's not a week almost that goes by that you don't see in the Wall Street Journal about some corporate, some head of a CEO of a big corporation. This last week, the head of Nestle Corporation. It's an international corporation, and he was let go. He was fired because improprieties in the workplace. And you see this almost every week. How does this happen to a person? You know, you're a CEO of the Nestle Corporation, a multi-billion-dollar corporation. And how do you let this happen? How do you go ahead and do something that's going to ruin your career? The answer is that the Yetzer Hara gets ahead of a person, a hold of a person, and he loses his rational thinking. Now, all of you, I'm sure, you know, you're not Yeshiva Bochum anymore, and you are, in fact, in the secular world, but try to go ahead and to make it as kosher as possible. You know, often I'm asked to speak in businesses in New York and Lakewood, etc., from big corporations. There was a company I spoke to before in the Bronx. The head of the company owns El Al, and he has a big company. And the men and the women work on separate floors because they want to keep the environment as kosher as possible. And other corporations, from corporations, in where the policy is, you do not refer to a woman by her first name. It's Mrs. So-and-so and Mr. So-and-so. And to build all these walls, because we cannot trust ourselves. I think that's the take-home lesson of the Parsha of Yifas Tayar. And even if a person cannot find himself in such a pristine situation, which is rare, but it's so important that you should be in a company at which at least there's another from an Orthodox Jew. That you each can act as a shomer to each other. But the lesson of the Yifas Tayar is you can't always trust yourself, even at tzaddik, in an environment that's dangerous and hostile and corrosive. And that, I think, is the lesson that we should all take from the Parsha of Yifas Tayar. So I have to say share now with all of you Hatzlacha Rabba, Ksiva Toiva, and it's a very choshev thing what you've done to come to the yeshiva even for one day. Rabbi Berkowitz gets a Yashar Koach for that. And Ksiva Toiva, good Geben Shayur, and we see Shalom in Eretz Yisrael and in Klal Yisrael.